heaven. You're so good to us. You're so faithful. You love us in spite of our sins, our failures, our shortcomings, our repeated failures, and yet you still love us. You've loved us before we were ever born. Lord, when we think of all that you went through for us, Lord, we're humbled, our hearts are broken. And then, Lord, as we look and we think of the Great Commission, Lord, when you gave it, those 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension, and you gave this truth, as we see you there, you're just broken, just died, just risen. We see your hands. We see the scars that man put on you. We know the love that you had when the weight of the whole world was put on you. You look at it as your passion, as your love for us. But might we know the Great Commission? Might we take it to the lost and dying world? Lord, we've come up short in the past on it. Pray that you give us victory in the future, as you've commanded to go. Lord, might we go in obedience to your command. We thank you for your love for us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart here today through your word, through that still small voice. Lord, use us to make a difference in the lives of people, lost people. Lord, also save people. Might we be an encouragement to the brethren. Speak to us, we pray. Use us to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Great Commission. Acts 1:8. Given multiple times. And as I saw this week, given even in the Old Testament. I always thought of the Great Commission, here in the New Testament. The Lord, in fact, in Luke, just repeats what's in the Old Testament. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. Part of the earth, I'm sorry. Our introduction, isn't it amazing? Or isn't it something? Or isn't it sad? Or isn't it revealing that this ever so important commandment, which Christ left to us, is in many of our lives our greatest failure? Our greatest failure, yet so important. The Lord Jesus has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. May God stir our hearts to a new beginning of obedience to him. Five parts make the whole. Five parts make the whole. Perhaps the most familiar record that God gave concerning the Great Commission is Matthew 28:16-20. So if you would turn with me there, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Perhaps the most familiar record God gave concerning the Great Commission is Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, I dare say 75% of you at least could quote this pretty close. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we teach it to our kids. When they're young, they hear it so much in the Sunday schools, they hear it from this pulpit, they hear it from mom and dad. So important that we go. So important that we take God's word and that we go. The Great Commission is found in each of the Gospels, records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also in the book of Acts. You learn to write bigger, or see better. We see Jesus Christ here. Of course, this commandment given multiple times, that 40-day period between the resurrection and the ascension. So literally, when we see this, although we need to be very careful what we read into Scripture, we always want this to be the truth, and we got to be careful what we read in. But I think we can easily see, as Christ was standing there in their midst, I think we can easily see the nail prints in his hands. I don't believe I'm being unfaithful to God's word in saying that. I think those prints were certainly clearly visible, because he was man. He was man. Although he was God, he was man. And that's a faith that we have, that we as men can be faithful, because he walked this path before us. But as we see him standing there, we see the nails in his hand. We probably see the prints from the crown in his head. And he gave to his disciples this great commission. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Therefore, because in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore, because Jesus Christ loved the world. You see him standing there before those people that loved him so dearly. We see the nails in his, we see the prints of the nails in his hands. Man, man, I would have collapsed to the floor. I don't know how they ever were able to. I would have just collapsed under that that love. But we see Christ with nail-pierced hand giving the great commission for you and I to go. We ought to go. Have we failed in the past in going? I know I have. Does the devil use that to say you can't succeed? Yeah, he sure does. Does the Lord want us to go? Yes. We need to go. In your lesson, as we look at each of these five accounts, we come to understand that it's truly involved in the Great Commission. During the 40 days between Christ's resurrection and ascension, he gave the Great Commission. We look at each of these references in the order in which they occurred. Firstly, John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. I'd like you to turn there if you're not. John 20, 19. God's word is the answer for our lives and the lives of lost mankind. John 20, 19, 20, and 21. Amy, one of these days, you got to teach me how to do those ribbons. They're sitting on my desk, and I keep trying, and they just get all tangled up. But I see everybody using them, and it would certainly be very useful. So I need to, or somebody needs to give me a single, well, Ford Motor Company would say a single point lesson on how to do this. So John chapter 20, verse 19, 20, and 21. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, Again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Seems to be the first time in our lessons here, John 20, 19 through 21, seems to be the first time after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that he gave the Great Commission. 10 of the disciples were gathered in a room together when Christ appeared in their midst and said, As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Our greatest reason for going, in my estimation, has always been the need of man. That's always the way I've looked at it. But yet, we don't start with man, we start with God. So then the Great Commission, our greatest reason to go is why? Because God commanded it. So then it's in obedience. And although the need of man is great, because it's eternal destruction, still that's not the first reason. It's not the big reason. The big reason is God gave us the command to go. So then it's about obedience. It's about obedience. And then secondly, of course, it would be our love for man, our love for man. But when we think about God's faithfulness and ours, God is certainly the one that is forever faithful. And we wind up coming up short so many times in our lessons. A great truth is established here. The Great Commission does not begin with the need of man. It begins in the heart of God. God said, go for me. We've been given authority to go. This authority is from God. When we go forth with the gospel, we're going by his authority in obedience to his command. Then nextly, ye are witnesses. Luke chapter 24. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24:46. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. As I was reading this, as you read it, it's a different person talking almost. Now you notice it's red letters. This is Christ talking. And yet it's as if someone else is talking about Christ. And what is taking place here? Let's go back to verse 44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them. So what the Lord here is doing is talking from the Old Testament record. He's talking from the Old Testament record. That's why you it would almost appear someone else is saying this, but certainly this is Christ, and he is repeating what was stated certainly many other places in Scripture, and specifically Isaiah 49, verses 6 and 7. Turn with me if you would, please. There aren't a lot of verses in our lesson today, so. Isaiah 49, verses 6 and 7. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to rise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, and to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because the Lord is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." So we see here in the Old Testament, and there's certainly a lot of other places we see this, but that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ has not just come to Israel, but indeed a light to all the Gentiles, which would be you and I. Certainly we are not Jews. We are Gentiles. We're the new man that Paul speaks of. Why does this thing keep flipping over? Anybody know? We often speak of the need to witness. But before we can witness, we must be witnesses. We are not able to witness to others until Christ is real in our lives. The noun must come before the verb. That's exactly what I did, Brian. I thought, what in the world do you mean the noun must come before the verb? And I thought, Lord, what's this guy mean? Well, it's simple. We have to have seen it at one time ourselves. We were a witness. I saw a car accident one day. I saw a guy weaving in out of traffic, and he came through me in the car, in this car, and a red light happened, and so he was going to go like this and like this. Was he started through that hole, the light turned red, and the guy in front of us stopped, and he just, wham. I was a witness of that. That's the noun. The noun is I was a witness of that. Then I gave the police officer my name and address and all that just in case this guy should try to say, oh, it wasn't my fault. Then if I would have been called into a court of law and they'd have said, Chris, what is the witness? What did you see? Well, I saw this guy dodging out of traffic. But not that I did get called, but then I would have been a witness of what I had seen. I would be witnessing that. That would be the verb. First of all, it'd be the noun. I am a witness of what happened. And that's where you and I are. We are, although we weren't in these rooms and we weren't there to see the risen Christ, we certainly have the written record. Thank you, Brother Moore. We certainly have the written record. So we are, first of all, witnesses. You and I believe, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Beyond any shadow of a doubt. Don't we? Yeah, we certainly do. We have written record, don't we? We have multiple written records. We have at least 500 people at one time that saw the risen Christ. This is no fairy tale made up. This is witnessable facts. So we have that truth. First of all, we have to be a witness. We talk to others. What do we say to them? We say, let me tell you what Christ did for me. Let me tell you what Christ did for me. We are witnesses of that. And then the verb form, we go out and we be a witness to other people. The work of God will be done through those who are witnessing of these things, those things which they know themselves to be true and they can personally testify of. Then the Lord Jesus is with us as we witness. In chronological order, the third time the Great Commission was given is recorded in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Notice that when Christ said, go, and then he said, and lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world. And that's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, that we go, that we tell them. The Lord Jesus let his followers know that his work was not accomplished by the power of oratory, training, or seminars, but by his presence and by his power. Christ said, I will go with you. Books are written on the keys to success, the five keys to success, the seven keys to success. I've read them. I've even had them for classes. I don't think I remember any of them. As Christians, what is our success time? It's when we walk in the Spirit. It's when we've spent time with the Lord praying. When we've spent time with the Lord sitting there with our Bibles open and asking the Lord to reveal stuff to us. Not that there is necessarily new revelation, but the Lord just illuminates to us his word and gives us understanding and enlightens us. So our power for success comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that he received from God and then that he gave to us. And then as you and I walk the lives privately with him, as we spend that quiet time, Mrs. Raver gets to go shopping. Sometimes just, you want me to go shopping, don't you? Would you mind? Go shopping. Just, I guess I'm a slower student. I just need time with the Lord, just quiet time. And that's where our victory has to come from. It has to come from those times. It has to come from those times. Walking in the Spirit. Who was it once said, the world has never seen what, and if you know this, please tell it to me, what would happen with a man that totally dedicated his life towards the Lord. By God's grace, I'll be that man. Was that D.L. Moody? Anybody know that? And he said, by God's grace, I'll be that man. Wow. To totally give your life to the Lord. I couldn't even pray that prayer, let alone ever hope to be that man. I mean, wow. To totally give your life to the Lord. I got a lot of things I want. I got a lot of selfish desires. Don't ask me. Ask my wife. No, she wouldn't tell you. It's a wonderful wife. She wouldn't lie, but she wouldn't tell you. But we have our own desires. We have our own wants. They get in our way most of the time, if not all the time. But God loves us anyway, and he uses us anyway. We need to be Spirit-filled. The Great Commission, we need to be Spirit-filled. Then we see, fourthly, miracles take place as the gospel is proclaimed. Read Mark 16, 15 through 18. Turn with me if you would. Mark 16. Amy, I got to get those ribbons. Even your hands go dry. 15 through 18. And he said to them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you're going to drink any deadly poison, you better be walking in the Spirit. tell you what, don't not walk in the spirit and drink deadly poison. I think people take this wrong and say, oh, I can do this. No, that's not what the Lord commanded. Although, if you've ever talked to missionaries, I talked to one that had been out on the hot coals. He'd been out there, but I'll tell you what, I guarantee he was walking with God at the time. I guarantee that. We wouldn't want to get out on them hot coals and not be walking with God, because we'd be crawling around on our knees for a long time until our feet got better. Because we do have a powerful God. The missionaries have been out there, and they've had to do it, and they've been out there in the test and in the challenge when the demons were going, and they've done it, because we do have a powerful God. Problem is, if I walked on coals, I would think that I was somebody that oh, you ought to see what I did, and that's certainly not what it is. But miracles are coming. What he's saying is that miracles will come as the gospel goes forth, miracles will come. People's lives will be changed. We've seen people's lives change, haven't we, with the gospel? We've seen that. We've seen what the Lord did in our lives. So we've seen those miracles come. Then lastly, there's no place to stop. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We've got to go. We've got to go. Past failures can't stop us. Devil will try to say they can. We have the power. We have the authority. We have Jesus Christ himself. If you and I walk in the Spirit, we can go. We can take God's word. We can take the gospel to a lost and dying world. By God's grace, we'll be more faithful, more obedient to the command to go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord, the command here. It's clear. Lord, might we take it in many different forms. Probably a good way is getting a gospel tract in someone's hand and saying, let me tell you what this says. That way they have it and they can take it and they can see your word and your Holy Spirit can work. Lord, we failed in the past. We're human. We fail. We come up short. Lord, might we not let that, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, Lord, help us to reach forth and take the great commission to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.